good morning, and welcome to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. Here's a new one from Chelsea Grin. Yes, I know. I know.
This is the same group that did the...
Hold on for a minute. Are these the same cats that did... No, Devil Driver did Sail. Chelsea Grin is the one that did Letters. But anyway...
And this is one of your click-to-picks, I think. Is that right?
Yeah, it's a click-to-pick. Are you going to be cynical about it?
Yeah, I've got to be cynical about it.
I'm not being cynical. I'm asking, is this a click-to-pick?
Yeah, I think so. All right, welcome back. World-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. I just saw a thing flash on the screen. I don't know whether or not we should even delve into this until we do have a commercial break, but did I just see three members of the of Led Zeppelin and in the same story with Donald Sterling?
Well, now, hold on. Yes, the NBA is charging Donald Sterling with certain... but the Led's... I don't know.
Yeah, I don't either. So,
Are you saying Led Zeppelin?
Yeah, probably Donald Sterling called him the N... Well, not N-word.
Don't call Led Zeppelin N-word, man. They're white.
I know that, but he might not have known that.
Donald Sterling called Led Zeppelin the N-word.
If he knew. If he didn't know.
Oh, man, that's not it.
Well, I'm telling you right now, I saw pictures of Led Zeppelin and Donald Sterling in the same story. Maybe it's... Maybe it's their legal, oh, I know what it is, because we got the sound turned down. We don't really know what CNN is doing any more than we know what Fox is doing, other than the fact that we did see Julie Banderas on Fox, who is the only Fox on that channel, as far as I'm concerned, bud.
Yay.
Really?
Yeah, really.
And why do you say that?
I think she's beautiful. And maybe it's because she's a brunette.
Well, see, right there, I think that's the key. You are prejudiced against blondes.
I'm not prejudiced against blondes. Are you kidding? There's no way I'm prejudiced against blondes. You know, blondes, in a lot of ways, I hate to say it, because it makes me kind of a mundane jackball. They're every man's fantasy. I don't know why, you know?
Yeah, but you, Henry, you like a blonde with a big butt, don't you?
Well, yeah, that would be heaven. But hey, blonde... never mind about me. How did we get on this? All I said was Julie Banderas is a beautiful woman.
Well, she's beautiful, but I think she goes against... what Fox is trying to achieve. And I think that's why she's been relegated to the weekends. I think that she is lovely. Excuse me, but there's one woman here on CNN. Look at Jean Cesariz. She doesn't look Hispanic. She looks like some Upper West Side.
Upper West Side what?
Oh, my God, I heard her mumble the C word.
I did not.
Well, I heard it.
All right, enough of the lady on CNN, and enough of Julie Banderas. All I was saying was I thought she was a very attractive woman.
Well, I think but she's going against what they're trying to do.
What are they trying to do on Fox?
Well, three guesses, Phil. They've got blondes there. What do you think?
Yeah, three guesses, but I have a Mexican.
Hey, bud, it ain't about having a Mexican.
Well, man, why are you so dumb, man? Every day, man, I keep waiting for you to get smarter.
Yeah, every day I keep waiting for you to get smarter.
Yeah, and I keep winning that race.
Well, not really.
Bud, just knock it off. Julie Banderas is going against what they're trying to achieve at Fox. Boy, that's racist.
No, no, no.
Yeah, Margaret, I think that Phil's got you there. You're saying that Fox...
I'm saying that what Fox is trying to achieve... No, you're not going to paint me with that. You know full well... that I'm a registered Democrat for years. You know, I'm not even going to get... I won't dignify it with a response.
What?
I said I won't dignify it with a response.
What?
But...
Yeah, well, you're responding.
Can I just hurt...
Hey!
Hands off of me.
You put your hands on me.
No, you put your hands on me.
All right, you both had your hands on each other. Okay. News today on a world-famous Phil Hendry Show from Thailand, where the Thai military has decided that the food there is so rotten They're sick and tired of it being exported to the United States so that people, many of them my friends, will say, oh, let's get Thai food. And I have to go and eat that peanut tasting that came out of a cat's ass.
God. Oh, so you talk about racism.
You don't like... Oh, that's really interesting.
You like the Thai food.
Wait, hold on. What's racism?
Well, you're talking about the Thai food came out of a cat's ass. But that's what... Isn't that what that is?
No, I just don't like the food.
I just don't like Thai food, man. I don't like it.
Really? Well, everybody knows that you're supposed to like Thai food.
I don't give a crap what everybody knows. I don't like it.
Well, this is the first time hearing about this. When did this happen?
Wait. Hold on for a minute. When was the memo sent out that I had to like Thai food?
Thai? Never mind.
You know, you guys can shake your heads at me like I don't get it. Thai food, I like Chinese food. I even like Vietnamese food.
Oh, God. God.
Sam, you like Vietnamese food?
Yes, I do. And no, I don't believe that it's... cat is a staple.
God.
Yeah, bull crap. Let's see. If one sterling goes, both sterlings go according to the league. They don't want either one of them having anything to do with that team. And that is absolutely God. You know, you can take that to the bank. And I'll tell you why. It's a very simple thing, folks. They don't want Sterling. And by the way, I've gotten the messages from people and I can't.
What's going on?
I get these messages. Whoa, they're busting on Sterling. But what about when Sharpton said, will you take it one case at a time? Why do you think this is a football game, man? We're taking individual issue after individual issue. We're taking it in terms of its relative importance to the culture. We're taking it in terms of its relative importance to people, its relative level of interest. You can talk about hypocrisy all you want. If all we're going to do in this country is go back, God damn it, man.
Well, what's the problem?
Just these assholes that I get messages from who tell me about how, Donald Sterling ain't half as bad as some other guy, you know, and it's always a black guy. Don't, think that you're hiding your racism, man. You're not. You can tell me that you're not. You can tell me that it's good. You are a racist. You're a brand spanking new kind of racist. You're one of those, you're like those modern day Christian fundamentalists who've been able to turn the whole thing around and make it seem like they're being persecuted. We got churches on every corner in this country. We've got religious shows on TV until you want to throw up. We've got more religion than we've ever had before, and these jackasses want me to believe they're persecuted. It's the same thing.
All right, now that we've started the program in such a friendly way.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying it, you know. So here we have Sterling. He's got, you know, the league wants to throw his ass out. And here's the whole trip with that.
Well, nobody's going to play.
What do you mean nobody's going to play? The players will want to play.
No, hold on, bud. The players are not going to want to play.
No, the player will not play in an NBA for Sterling.
You know, and this is also another example of how little, pardon me for saying this, how little white people kind of get it. I mean, this is the truth. When people come back and say to me the following thing, which is what I get from, you know, some of my friends, they're under contract, they will play. Look, I don't doubt that some guys will report. Just like some members of a union tend to want to go ahead and work even when a general strike has been called. But I got news for you that if a strike is called by the NBA Players Association, and it will be, if Donald Sterling is still the owner of that team, or at least if the process is not moving, like A.C. Green said it, and he said it very well, there is due process. So you have to have the process in place, and it should be moving. But it has to be moving. It has to be heading toward the end result, which is getting this guy out of the league. Just like there are scabs, just like there are some strike breakers, just like there's some guys that don't want to go out, there'll be a smattering of players here and there. But overall, the league will come to an end. The league will stop. It will be like a strike. And,
Well, I can't say as I blame them, although I think that I forget her name, but I really admire her. Betty Sterling.
Her name is Rochelle.
Yeah, her name is Rochelle.
Her name is what?
Rochelle.
Well, see, that I would rather her name... See, here's the problem. I know you're going to think I'm nitpicking.
Oh, Margaret, what are you trying to say now?
Hold on. I think the name Rochelle sounds trashy, and I think that given... Well, you're all looking at me like I'm not...
Given the name Betty...
How do you like that? Excuse me.
Yeah, well, that's Margaret's statement.
You know, Phil, I can tell when you guys are ready to just start making your fart noises, so I got one in.
No, you couldn't tell. I was waiting for you to make some sense.
I make sense every day. Excuse me.
I don't know what she means by that.
Talk about Betty.
There ain't no Betty. She's talking about what's-her-ass, that Rochelle Sterling. Isn't that her name?
Well, yeah, they call her Shelley, by understanding.
Yeah, well, so what's the point, Mark? Well, she's still in the crapper. Yeah, so our number here, 855-500-7445. We're actually talking.
There, I told you I'd make sense. How's that? I told you I'd make sense. How's that?
Yeah, that makes sense to flush.
Yeah, especially when you've been in there.
I'm going to kick your...
Hey! Hey!
Beat his ass. One of these days, he won't hold me back.
One of these days, I won't hold you back. And one of these days, Bud's going to have a wrench or a chain underneath that table.
Oh, I'd love it. I'd love it. Go ahead and bring it.
I just might.
I'd love it.
All right. Grow up. Grow the hell up. So anyway, martial law in Thailand, and the people have had selfies. They're taking selfies. And what that means is, they're out there, and even though the country has gone to hell in a handcart, and they got troops on every corner, and they got assholes on every, every place that they go, there's all kinds of military and all kinds of horrifying things. Here come all these cats with their cell phones, and they want to have their selfies taken with these troopers, so... I don't know how much more this is going to be going on. We do have Bob Bacon over Bangkok. Not really. He's actually hovering over his house. Here's Bob Bacon. Bob, how's that traffic look in Bangkok?
Phil, right now, the traffic in Bangkok here, we got a lot of selfies going on, Bob. And there's a lot of people down there. There's a lot of troops and all kinds of things that are happening. We'll see all these troops and do the things that they're going to be doing. Is Bob Bacon down here or hovering over downtown Bangkok?
Hey, Bob.
Yeah.
Now, where are you really?
All right, I'm hovering over my house. I live in El Monte, California, of the house. And it's looking really good down here.
What's the traffic like in El Monte?
Well, you really know the traffic over El Monte?
Yeah, I do want to know what the traffic's like in El Monte, because you're actually looking at El Monte.
All right, now, there's no traffic down there right now. There's a store that's open. There's some day laborers out front. I'm Bob Bacon driving.
And what's the traffic?
I'm Bob Bacon.
Thank you, Bob.
That's great, man.
Well, you can say that was great, but I'm here to tell you the emperor wears no clothes.
What?
I said I'm here to tell you the emperor wears no clothes.
What?
It's a saying, Bud. It's a saying. It means that we can all pretend like it was fantastic when in point of fact we know it sucks on wheels.
Yeah, it sucks on wheels.
That's exactly what I... God damn all of you.
Oh, come on, General.
Well, when I use something very beautiful like that and Bud just goes, well, how come I'm the one that is, the portrait of me is painted.
The portrait of you is painted with you with your pants off, right?
Yes, that's what I was trying to say.
Wow, you were.
That's pretty accurate.
Well, I knew what he was thinking.
The portrait of you has been painted with your pants off.
Yes, that's exactly right.
All right, but nonetheless, the emperor has no clothes, but you're just...
Yeah, the emperor's not wearing clothes, but in general, he got no pants.
Kick your ass.
All right, hold on. Can we solve problems around here a little less often with the fisticuffs and people slapping each other? So the selfies, this is what I'm trying to tell you. People in Thailand have been coming out of their hotels, coming out of their homes, coming out of their hutches, coming out of their hovels, and they're having their pictures taken with the Thailand troops... And the cats are all obliging, and the whole thing is one big happy freaking fizzies party, Jack. Can you imagine that?
Well, Phil, the tourists don't know any better. They're there on vacation.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. The Thai authorities want to make damn sure that they do not disrupt the very lucrative tourist season and the various tourist sites that they have in Thailand. So they're making this as painless as they possibly can for visitors. But the fact of the matter is, the military in Thailand has usurped the civil authority. Now, they're saying it's not a coup. It's just to get rid of all these clowns because they've had all kinds of civil disturbance and unrest. And this is, see, ideally, guys, here's how it's supposed to work. You're supposed to, as the civil authority, you call out the troops or the police and you quell it. although the ultimate authority still lies with the civilian populace. That's how it works in a well-run, well-oiled, well-manicured, well-groomed...
Well-hung.
Well-hung.
Not well-hung yet.
Just a very properly run democracy. But not in Thailand, and in some of these countries, they still don't trust it. You know, they still don't... The military is... Well, I don't know. Let's just go in. You know.
Now, why do you suppose that doesn't happen here in America? And I'm not saying that it should, but why do you suppose that?
Because we have a tradition of civilian authority in America dating all the way to the beginning of this country. Because it is the commander-in-chief who is the ultimate authority.
That's right.
Well, all right. I mean,
You've never resented that, have you, General? As a general, have you ever resented having to take orders from a civilian?
No, I will say on the record, no. But off the record, some of them really...
Forget it. Well, who? Like who?
Yeah, who? Obama?
Obama's one, yes. But that Clinton, he was another clown and a half. And old man Bush, he wasn't too bright. And one other guy. Some people think Ronald Reagan had it all going on, like Mr. Right-Wing Conservative Protect America. That guy was as dumb as a... Oh, man.
Reagan was dumb.
Oh, he was dumb. I would sit in these briefings with him, and, you know, he'd be, well, and he'd always break into some story about the Cubs or Hollywood, and I would, at one point, I said, Mr. President, please, sir, we have a military situation.
What, can you tell me which one?
For national security interests, I should not, but it was Grenada.
But for security interests, you shouldn't say.
Well, I did.
You did, even though you said for national security interests, you shouldn't.
You know something? Both of you can hang it square in my rectum because you tricked me.
All right, hold on, General.
No, you tricked me.
No, we didn't trick you. You didn't know what you were saying. We're going to be right back on the Phil Henry Show. Don't go away. More to come. We have Bob Green returning with more on Donald Sterling. We have Cliff King, horse trainer, to talk more about the Preakness and maybe bending stuff around his head. I don't know what that was, man. You know?
Well, that man is clearly certified. I don't know why you're having him back on the program.
Because he was entertaining. Because bending stuff around your head when you're 72 is pretty heavy. You
know? Another day in this carnival of souls.
World famous Phil Henry Show. Be right back here. We are listen live and mobile and tune in and mobile. So if you got your mobile, then mobile it, man. And join us here on PhilHenryShow.com. We'll be right back.
The world-famous Phil Henry Show, broadcasting from the El Pacifico and brought to you by Cano Soap for Women. It's soft, it's delicate, it treats your skin as if it's peach fuzz. Even if you've got a Naga hide ass, like a lot of you gals do, I know you know me, we know how it is, right? Even if you've been out tanning for so long, your ass is like Naga hide. Cano Soap may be able to help.
All the places I've been in. Pick up Cano Soap at your local Vons, at your local Trustees,
and at your local Rite Aid.
Made up a million shattered dreams.
God damn it.
The faces of people I'll never see again.
Yeah.
And I can't seem to find my way home.
Five Finger Death Punch, yeah.
Voice.
He's got a great voice, doesn't he? It's a hell of a band. Hell of a band. And these guys have been together for a long time. And are celebrating some success now after many, 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 many years. Five Finger Death Punch. They also, you've heard the track they do with Rob Halford from Judas Priest, who is back in the saddle with Judas Priest. That song they've got, we played that, Redeemer of Souls, and he's also on the...
Now, who is the guy?
That guy's name is Rob Halford from a Judas Priest.
Oh, this is the yeah, you're talking about.
Yeah, it says heavy metal.
Yeah, I know.
So getting back to the general, then we have Cliff King's going to join us here from Los Alamitos. General, I wanted to get back to what you were talking to us about, which is you were in some security briefings with Ronald Reagan.
Yeah, security. So, and the president, you asked me about the commanders in the chief, or I never say it right, commander chiefs.
Commanders in chief, right? Wouldn't it be?
Well, now hold on. I was the one in the army. It was the commander of the chief. You may be right.
But about the chief, just chief.
Just chief? What do you mean?
Well, like the Indians had the chief.
What, are you trying to tell me that I called him Chief Ronnie or Chief? No. No, I won't. No, I won't do it. I want to hurt him, but I won't.
Right, hold on for a minute. No. Just commanders in chief.
All right. Well, you asked me who the dumbest one was. I'm not saying Reagan was the dumbest.
I think a lot of people would find that very interesting, because a lot of people thought Ronald Reagan was very sharp, and I think he was as well.
Now, I'm not saying he wasn't smart. In military matters, though, you really had to kind of bring him along. Almost, you know what, you wanted to just hook your finger in a nostril and say, you know, just get, because it was a waste of time.
Well, what were some of the things you were wasting your time on?
Well, just before Grenada, Reagan says, well, do we go in with Marines? What do we, or do we go in do we deploy airborne? What do we do? God help me, please. He was running around the room. I said, Mr. President, he said, take your hands off of me. And he picked up a crystal serving tray. He said, you see this? He said, I got this for Nancy on our 20th wedding anniversary, and watch this. And he broke it over a piano, this beautiful Strudelmeier. What's the piano?
I don't know. I don't know anything about pianos. Do you, Margaret?
Well, there's the Strauss.
No, it was a Strudelmeier, I think.
There's no Strudelmeier piano, but anyway, go ahead.
Well, he said, you people are driving me apeshit, excuse my French, and he broke this crystal thing of the piano. He said, now somebody better give me answers.
Well, that's an easy enough thing to answer.
Yeah, well, I mean, everybody know the Marine did.
Well, that's what we told him. We said the Marines, using an amphibious assault, will be much better, will overwhelm, because we do need to get in and get those kids out of, there's a school there, you know.
Yeah, there was a medical school that Americans were in, and they wanted to make sure that they were not going to be used as hostages, right?
That is correct, yes.
Was there any airborne used?
Now, the Army, no. This was primarily a Marine operation, a naval Marine operation. But he said, well, what about the airborne? Now, you know me. I'm partial to the Army, the Rangers, airborne. And I said, well, Mr. President, if you ask me, I think airborne will get in there and take care of this lickety-split, no muss, no fuss. And that's when the Marine Corps commander spoke. I forget his name. It was General Boutonniere, I think, was his name.
Now, who was this?
He was the part of the Joint Chief. He was with the Marines.
Oh, so he was the Marine commander overall.
Yes, that's correct.
And he said, Marines.
Yeah, are you listening to what I'm saying, for Christ's sake?
Yeah, we just want to know about the airborne.
Well, hold on. You're asking me about what Reagan did.
Yeah, no, that's right.
So Reagan says, well, what are you doing? I said, I say airborne. They'll go in, kick ass on these Cubans and whatever else they got, and the Marines can go back and get their suntans or whatever they were doing. And that's when this Marine says, boy, you... he says, boy, boys, get after it. And we go out and make some... And let me tell you something. You know, if I see any of you Army guys, I know that I'm going to have to shoot you as well as the Cubans. And then he went, I'm only kidding. And we shook hands.
Boy, you backed down on that fight, didn't you?
I didn't back out on jack shit. Are you kidding me?
Wait a minute. You're having this fight with this Marine, and the Marine said, and you say to him, "Will the airborne will take care of it?" And he comes back and says, "If we go in there and we see any Army, we'll shoot them as well as the Cubans."
That's right.
And you got, and then you shook hands.
Yeah, it was all a big misunderstanding.
Right. It was all a big misunderstanding.
I don't think any Army veterans are going to be very happy with that.
Oh, they know. Get out of it. Look, and if there's one thing we're used to, it's all that hot air blowing by the Marines about how bad. Forget it, you know.
You guys are pretty used to the Marines just kind of...
Oh, they're always blowing something. Excuse me.
Now let's watch that talk, okay? Because in my family, or in my extended family/former family/future, somewhere there's a Marine.
Well, I think that's true. Be careful what you say, because somewhere in your family line, there's a Marine.
Yeah, it's probably... What?
Never mind. All right, so... I don't know if we got Cliff King or not. We're going to get Cliff King up from the diner, right?
No, Mr. King is right now having eggs and things.
He's doing what?
He's having his eggs and eggs and thing, from what we understand, but why don't you go ahead and bring him up? I don't think it'll be a problem.
All right. Hey, how you doing? Hey, Cliff. Yeah, man. Got a yeah on Phil Heavy Show here? You want to go to Phil Heavy Show? You what? Yeah.
What is it? Why do I always have to hear you guys screening the phone?
Yeah, you told us to get the guy going.
Then get him ready on hold so I can just go ahead and punch a button and the guy's going to be there. You guys are always with the, you know, hey, yeah, are you ready? And we got to listen to this stuff. Hey, Cliff, are you having breakfast?
Hey. Oh, good morning.
Good morning, Cliff. How are you?
Oh, good morning. Yeah. Cliff King, friend of everybody.
And you're having breakfast?
I'm having some breakfast, eggs and things this morning, Phil, and shaking hands with the people here.
And we talked to you yesterday, you remember?
Say that again?
We talked to you yesterday, remember?
I remember, yeah. I remember talking to you and enjoying everything. And this is Cliff King, friend of all. And I'm 72 years old, Phil, and I take care of myself.
I know you do. I know you do. Now, we had some reaction yesterday to your appearance on the show. Okay?
Yeah, and get me an orange juice.
Cliff, you there?
I'm waiting for Phil Hendry.
I'm right here, Cliff.
Yeah, Phil, how are you?
Good morning. We had some reaction to your appearance on the show yesterday.
Okay, yeah. Well, I'm happy to talk to people, and I'm happy to answer their questions.
All right, but we wanted you to demonstrate for us again the...
No, Phil, don't do that.
Hold on. We wanted you to demonstrate for us again, bending some metal.
Sure, sure. Tarina's here. She's the young lady that I love to see in the morning. Hey, Tarina, I'm going to bend another piece of metal around my head. Well, she's moving away from me very quickly. Her father told me that she doesn't like to see that, but I think that there's more to it. I think that she wants to be free of his control and leave the ranchero. And sometime, maybe in the future, Phil, I don't know, I'll put on my black cape and I'll ride up on a horse and jump off and go, ha-ha, Zorro, you know?
Okay. Where do you live, Cliff?
Oh, I live a lot of places. I live in a lot of places with a lot of people.
Okay. Is this guy senile or something? All right, Cliff, have you got the metal that you're going to bend around your head?
Hold on for a minute. Would you put him on hold, please?
Margaret.
No, put him on hold, please. Cliff, we'll be right back.
Oh, are you going to put...
I think this is wrong.
Wait, Margaret.
What are you talking about? This is going to be bitching. Guy's going to bend the metal and everything.
That man is clearly senile or suffering from some dementia, and for kicks and laughs, you want to have him bend metal around his head.
That's right, Margaret, because the man's there on the phone. God almighty, what got into you all of a sudden? All of a sudden, you're getting pangs of conscience.
All of a sudden? So you're telling me that you want this man to bend metal around his head, even though you know he has dementia?
Yes.
Okay.
All right, let's get that music out of here. So, all right, we're going to have... Cliff, you there?
All right, Cliff King. I've got a piece of metal here, Phil.
And what is that?
This came from the kitchen. They gave it to me. It's the front... It's... What's this? This is the door to a cooler. This is a door to a small cooler in the kitchen. And I'm going to bend this and break it over the top of my head.
The door from a small cooler?
A very small refrigerator, yeah, that they took off. And I've got it sitting on my head. And where's Tarina? Tarina, watch this. Hey, Tarina. He doesn't need any more eggs, and he doesn't need any more coffee. Come over here and watch this. I want you to see me do this. And I'm on the radio, too. Yeah. Okay, Phil, you ready?
All right, this is the small door to a refrigerator.
Right. Yeah. And we begin.
Yeah. 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 Come on, you motherfucker. Come on, you motherfucker. Come on.
There, I just did it.
Wow.
Hey, do it, Cliff.
There's a lot of fans here.
Well, all right.
Now, Cliff, are you all right?
Oh, I'm fine. I've never felt better in my life. I better have to lay down, though, because I'm bleeding from the top of my head. It's pouring into my eyes.
Are you okay?
I guess not if I've got blood pouring into my eyes.
All right, so we'll check back with him.
Hey, Cliff, we're going to check back with you. Well, they got him.
Are you happy? Now he's got blood pouring into his eyes.
Wait a minute. You blaming this on me? That gives that old man a lot of joy and pleasure. I don't think he's senile. I just think he's eccentric.
Well, I don't know, Phil, but I'll tell you something. That guy is some kind of a whack job. He busts a refrigerator door.
That's right. Over the top of his head.
That's pretty cool if you think about a guy being able to do that.
Yeah, if you think about a guy being able to do that, it's either really cool or it's terribly, terribly discouraging in terms of how we treat our fellow man. I'm Phil Hendry. We'll be right back.
Feel the fire where she walks.
World famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. All right, that leaves Bob Green coming up here on Donald Sterling and what else is happening. We've got other news before we get to Bob Green. They'll be right back here. Listen live mobile and tune in mobile.
Famous Phil Hendry Show from the El Pacifico, brought to you by
Gerber's Masonry. For 27 years throughout the Ventura County area, Gerber's Masonry has been building and tearing down buildings that we've built. We build them up and we tear them down, sometimes within days. Gerber's Masonry.
And by
Led Zeppelin. Yes, the great band Led Zeppelin. Buy their catalog. Make them even more money than they've made. I know that sounds ridiculous. And I know it sounds almost as if I'm being sarcastic. But no, you never really know with individuals like these people in Led Zeppelin what they're doing with their money. So I'm just worried a little bit. That's all.
That was great.
Why don't you blow it out your...
That was real great. Brought to you by Led Zeppelin, huh?
Well, you never know.
Yeah, I'm sure that they're... I want to make sure that they're okay. God damn it, I hope they're okay. Don't you hope Led Zeppelin's all right? I hope the money is safe. I hope the gold bars... who knows what we'll learn about these guys. I think it's going to be a fascinating thing. I won't be around for it. I don't think I'll be around for it. Maybe I will be around for it. When Jimmy Page or Robert Plant, those guys go, and the biography is finally written, the real biography, you know, about their lives... What kind of weird stuff is going to come out?
Yeah, you don't know. It's probably going to be normal.
How do you know it won't be just... These guys are rock and rollers, sure. But how do you know it won't be... You know, like Robert Plant would go home and have coffee with his wife and they'd watch bowling or something.
Why do I not believe that that was the case? Why do I not believe that Robert Plant went home, kissed his wife or whatever, whoever...
Is he even married?
Well, I think he was married. He might be married now. I don't know, but...
Well, he did the album. You know, he did that album with Alison Krauss, the girl from Union Station. And there was a video that I was not very impressed with because on it, as they're walking away, she looks back at the camera as if to say, I'm blankety-blanking Robert Plant, and don't you wish you were me? And I found I was very offended by that.
What was this?
Yeah, it's some video.
It was a music video with Alison Krauss.
I don't remember that at all.
I don't care. I'm telling you, Alison Krauss was on a music video looking back at me and other females as if to say, don't you wish you were sucking his...
You get it. Don't say it. All right, so whatever. What about it?
And that's how we treat each other today. That's sisterhood.
Let me tell you what. You know, there's sisterhood, there's brotherhood, and then there's just getting it done on a Friday night. Bud Dickman.
Hey! Yeah!
All right. Bob Green and will be with us in a moment. But first, the news headlines as we have them. Mentioned this martial law bullcrap in Thailand. I don't want to get into that anymore. I don't like Thai food.
Well, it's about more than Thai food, Phil. It's about the Thai and the whole Thai...
The whole Thai thing. Yeah, that's real important. Look. Whatever. The point that I'm trying to make, and then we'll get past that, is that it's a hell of a thing to get up in the morning, man, and see tanks sitting in the street.
Phil, that's how those people do things.
Boy, spoken like the liberal there.
Yeah, Ms. Gray. Talk about how those people...
I'm not talking about black people. I'm talking about people that you could call those people. Southeast Asians, who on average are 5'2". Oh, my God, what's wrong with you people?
What?
What are you talking about, Margaret?
What am I talking about? I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you people, and I'm trying to say, all right, I called you you people, but I'm saying that as friends. What is wrong with you when I say the Thai people are not like us?
You talking about black people?
Did I say black people? I said Thai. They're not like, they're 5'2", eyes of blue. Oh, what, God damn it.
I know, that gets stuck in my mind, too.
Yeah. They're 5'2".
Eyes of blue, oh, what the...
Could you shut your... Shut up. They're only 5 foot...
Say they're 5'3".
All right, they're 5'3". You and me, shit.
What is it with every time we say 5'2" on this show, we gotta bust into that stupid song, Has Anybody Seen My Gal?
I don't know.
What are you laughing about, Miss Erin?
I think it's pretty funny. I think it's pretty... Margaret had a whole thing she wanted to say about Thailand.
I'll say it. Thailand, the people there are small. They are small, and they are... God forgive me, they're like the flying monkeys on Wizard of Oz.
And she's getting up and leaving.
Yes, because I don't want to sit there and be misunderstood. Everyone knows I am a very egalitarian liberal. I've got to go...
Yeah, take a dump.
Yes.
Wow, that... I don't know what to say about that.
Well, you know, I see that coming.
They're like the flying monkeys on Wizard of Oz. Mm-mm-mm.
Yeah, she said that about the Thailand people, huh?
Yeah.
Hold on, I want to clarify. I don't want you sitting there behind my back.
If you don't want us sitting here behind your back, then why are you leaving?
Because I had to go to the bathroom. I've been holding it since 4 a.m.
Yeah, it's bowel movement.
Hey, you know something? The next time I hear about anybody's bathroom habits on this show, they're fired. I don't care what kind of contract they have. I don't care. I don't care how important, how pivotal. Fired. Fired. Fired.
I didn't say bowel movement. He did.
No, but you started in with the whole, since 4 a.m. I've been holding it. What is this bullshit Stairway to Heaven stolen?
I think it's like the master tape or some... horse's dung, excuse me.
And then there's the album Spirit. What's going on with this? Well, we're going to find out in our next commercial break and report it to you. All right. So there's that news. Then there is the S.H.I.E.L.D. actor and Michael Jace. This is something else, Margaret.
Yes, this man has been arrested. Michael Jace, a veteran actor who appeared in the FX cop drama The S.H.I.E.L.D., was arrested here in Los Angeles on suspicion of shooting and killing his wife. Now, he had been detained late last night. As of late last night, no word had reached us on whether or not he had been... Excuse me, I'm talking like this. Give me some coffee, please.
Like this?
Is that coffee?
Yes.
Then I'd like it.
Okay, you want this?
Give her the coffee.
Sorry.
Oh, thank Christ. Okay, yes. The victim, now he had been detained last night, Phil. So there was no word as of last night whether he'd been arrested, so this is the first we've heard. But the victim, April, his wife, was found fatally shot inside their home in Hyde Park, in the Hyde Park section of Los Angeles. Michael Jace was taken into custody at the scene and later booked on a homicide charge. Eric Crossan, who is the gang homicide detective, said the investigation is ongoing. It is not yet clear what led to the shooting. As you know, Mr. Jace also appeared in the TNT drama Southland, as well as several other TV shows and films, including Planet of the Apes, Forrest Gump, and Boogie Nights.
Oh, I was thinking of Don Cheadle. That's,
Just because he's a black guy, Phil.
No, not just because he's a black guy. Not because he's a... I know what John Cheadle looks like. I don't remember this cat.
I think he was one of the crew. I don't know.
Yeah, he played one of the crew guys.
Well, how do you like that, man? I don't know what happened there, but... And God knows how many times that takes place across the country, and it just so happens, you know...
One more reason for gun control.
Oh, get out of here, will you, man? That's not going to keep a guy from killing his wife. Hey, excuse me, Scott Peterson, how did he kill that... how did he kill his wife, Lacey?
Are you sure it's Lacey and not Stacy?
Don't start screwing with me. Lacey Peterson was Scott Peterson's wife. How do you think he killed her?
I think he shot her, didn't he?
No, he did not shoot her. He probably strangled her or something else. They didn't find any bullets. There was no gun. There wasn't any gunpowder residue. There wasn't any... No suspicion of... they just said that he most likely strangled her and then dropped her in a whatever the hell he did. What did he do?
Yeah, he strangled her, and then he dropped her off a pier into the water.
No, he didn't. He went out on a boat with her.
Well, why you ask him?
Because I don't know how the hell what he did. What did he do? Never mind.
You mean what he did right after he strangled her?
Yeah.
My information was he strangled her and had to go turn off something. I don't know what it was, but he was sidetracked. It was a waffle iron. It was a toaster oven. He was sidetracked.
Yeah, and he, I heard that too. So, and I hate to say this, but she drops to the ground and he goes to the,
You know something? You guys are out of your freaking minds, okay?
You asked me what happened.
I'm not asking you to make stuff up.
Well, that was my understanding.
He strangled her, dropped her to the carpet, then went over to a toaster oven.
Because something was burning. Goddamn.
The point being, he didn't shoot her. So if you want to go down the I shot my wife road, no. You can't do that. But anyway, this gentleman is in custody. Michael Jace, or Jesse, or Jacke, or Jacka.
You don't know how it's pronounced.
No, I don't. I told you, I got a copy of The Shield, and I say this with the greatest of love and respect. Not The Shield. I got Wired. That was it, Wired. Somebody sent me Wired, and you remember when that was, or The Wire, not Wired, The Wire. And the reason why I don't even know the name of the show is because I never watched it. And the reason why I never watched it is because we were on at night, and I didn't, I just am not the kind of guy who's going to DVR everything and watch it later. Either it's on when I'm watching TV or I miss it. But this show was so touted, and people were saying, oh, have you seen The Wire? Oh, my God, have you seen The Wire? Have you seen it? That I got this for a birthday present from somebody, all the seasons, and it was... one of the things that I violently resent about any television show or movie, I violently resent it, I want my money back, is when they present to me something that I know the outcome of already. You know?
Yeah, like the plot's really predictable?
Well, yeah, you're talking about the plot being predictable.
Not only that, but when they show me characters that I've seen before... that are not believable, any more believable this time out than they were the first time, and they show me plot situations. The Wire, the very first show I watched, had three homicide detectives that looked nothing like homicide detectives. They looked like they'd stepped out of GQ, and don't tell me that's how all cop shows are, because no, it isn't.
Well, Phil, name one.
Well, hold the phone here. We need name one. I mean, you're going to ask me to think about cop shows down through the years. I can't. Telly Savalas was a bald-headed looking geek. I mean, I'm sure that the hero of Wire of The Wire was Michael Chiklis, right?
I don't know.
Or was he in the show? I don't know. But the fact being that, you know, this show had cops that looked like they came out of GQ or Esquire doing asinine things, stupid stuff, starting the plots out with, you know, I can't get a door open, man, move the pool table, some crap. I'm telling you, I couldn't watch it. Now, I know that this is a very bad thing to do, you know, because, first of all, people work their asses off in these shows. I hate to come on and say, well, this is bad, that's bad. I'm only talking about me, Phil Henry, and I'm only saying this because, you know, we're talking about this other show, and there isn't much to say other than the fact that this dude shot his wife. I'm not going to talk about how good or bad The Shield is, because I ain't seen that show either. So,
Jesus Christ, Henry, you ought to get up on the culture a little bit.
I'm up on the culture. Don't worry about it, you know.
Well, you're listening to hip-hop, Phil. You're on the very extreme edge of the culture.
Well, it may be. You know, if I got to get up on the culture, I might as well get way out on the extreme edge of the culture and let the rest of it catch up to me. But all I'm trying to tell you is that show, The Wire. Were you the one that gave me that?
Yes, I gave you that, but I've heard this speech before. That's why I'm not fazed.
All right, but I mean, do you agree?
No, I don't agree. I think the program was brilliant. I think The Shield is brilliant. And I think you're right. Your instinct is very, very destructive, Phil. When you say these hurtful things, the actors, the writers, the people that work so hard on these shows, and the next thing you know, they are smelling something in the air that is anything but perfume. It's as if they got out of bed in the morning and someone had gone ahead and let an elephant in there to fart and shit. All right.
God.
Well, I'm sick of it.
What are you taking this stuff personally for?
That's right.
I'm sick of it.
You know, she starts out sounding sane.
Yeah, well, she starts out sounding sane, and then she starts thinking about just how pissed off you got her.
Well, what the hell did I say? I disagreed.
You talked about a very beloved show. You might as well lead an elephant into the room where those writers sleep, eat, and yes, fuck, and have it shit. Forget it.
You know, for a lady who started out not liking all the language...
I use it appropriately. Now, if you don't mind, I'm...
On the toilet?
Yes.
All right, folks, the world-famous Phil Henry Show here, so I appreciate that very much. We're going to get to the bottom of Led Zeppelin as well as the bottom of the bottom, Donald Sterling's latest problems here. The world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com, and, of course, we're online, as I mentioned, at TuneIn. We're at TuneIn Mobile and Listen Live Mobile. And remember that we also have Customer Appreciation Month continuing. And I also want to tell you that tickets available for our June 5th appearance at the Improv in Hollywood. I'll tell you how to get them.
You need cooling.
Oh, this is Led Zeppelin right here.
Oh, I love this. Hold on. I'm going to get you. Woo! Back to school. I love this. Robert Plant's a stud. Although I hear that his...
Hear what?
Well, I hear his penis was not short.
Wow.
Grow up, Phil.
Oh, you grow up. You grow up.
World famous Phil Henry Show will be right back after these very important announcements. I just turned 80. And I had a very healthy, well, I shouldn't say, but I had a healthy elimination this morning. And my wife, Patsy, is visiting her sister in Fresno. Those announcements.
I'm gonna give you my love.
That's what I think of those.
You are a pig. A pig.
Doesn't bother me at all.
You're a pig. You're a swine and a pig.
Doesn't bother me at all. Doesn't faze me.
God damn it.
Doesn't bother me.
Is this guy...
All right, we're back here, world-famous Phil Henry Show, Led Zeppelin. The reason why we're playing some Led Zeppelin is the Led Zeppelin story that broke this morning. I don't know when it actually broke. It broke on this show this morning. Led Zeppelin's been accused of stealing the intro to Stairway to Heaven. It's a very familiar intro. Doon, 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 doon. We'll play it here in a minute, but you know the song.
Well, that's a very classic intro.
It's a very classic intro, and they have been accused... Let me get the story so that I'm not talking out of my ass here, but... lawyers for the band Spirit, and that's a band that we actually listen to on this show and love as well, but lawyers for the band Spirit say Led Zeppelin's song intro, the Led Zeppelin intro to Stairway to Heaven, sounds a lot like Spirit's 1968 instrumental track Taurus. A lawyer representing Spirit guitarist Randy California, who is now deceased, said he will file a copyright infringement lawsuit and try to block the re-release of a Led Zeppelin album that includes the song, according to Bloomberg Business Week. The goal is to give California a writing credit on Stairway to Heaven, said Francis Alexander Malafi, one of the lawyers, according to the Bloomberg News. Spirit and California's family waited until now to make the claim because they had not been able to pay for lawyers, according to Rolling Stone. Good Lord. Don't you think a lawyer would take that on some kind of a contingency?
I don't know what kind of a contingency it would be, you know.
Yeah, I guess, because they're not asking for money. They're asking for a writing credit. I guess the lawyer would get some of the money. California had told the magazine, the guys made millions of bucks on it and never said thank you, never said, can we pay you some money for it? It's kind of a sore point with me. Maybe someday their conscience will make them do something about it. Randy California did not appear to complain publicly about Stairway to Heaven for decades, but he made a comment to Listener magazine in 1997 that he believed the song was a ripoff. This is before Randy California lost his life in Hawaii, as he was attempting to save, and did save, I believe it was his son, from drowning, and Randy California himself lost his life in that effort. And Spirit is a very beloved band here in California, here in Los Angeles, because this is their hometown. But I used to go, I saw Spirit twice out at the Pasadena Civic.
Now, this is the song. What did they do?
They said that song, I Got a Line on You, Babe.
Oh, I love that. Doon, doo-doo. Oh, I love that song.
Good, Margaret. I'm glad.
What's with you? All of a sudden, because I like music?
No, it's fine. I just... So,
You just what?
Margaret, this isn't about you right now.
Yeah, Margaret, let's get to the story.
Oh, well, excuse me.
You know what? This is about this band, and then we'll hear the thing, you know?
What thing? You mean the song or me?
We're going to hear the song, and we'll get to you. God damn, woman.
Oh, get my husband on. No one calls me woman.
Jesus.
Get my husband on the phone.
Yeah, all right.
So anyway, Led Zeppelin accused of ripping things off. All right, and we're going to get to the song Stairway to Heaven here in a second. So you can, and actually, what I'd like to do is listen to Taurus, man, because everybody knows what Stairway to Heaven sounds like, you know?
Yeah, well, that's all. I know that song, Taurus.
We do know Spirit's music. Because they did, like, you know, I Got a Line on You, which is their biggest hit. Let me see what I can find here. And Fresh Garbage from the first album, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But I don't think anybody knows the song Taurus, or maybe they do. Randy California claims that it has a riff in it that was ripped off by Led Zeppelin. What I just did is I just went over here to the playlist, and I found this. Let's listen to it, because I don't know, man. You tell me. This is Spirit's Taurus from The Very Best of Spirit, 1968. Oh, I remember this.
This is from their first album.
Yeah, this is from the first album. This was huge stoner music. Huge stoner music, you know. You listen to it. Yeah, this is all from that first album.
What do you mean it was stoner? You'd smoke one of the cigarettes, you know?
Yeah, you'd get stoned and listen. I don't know. This could go on for a long time here.
Well, why don't you read the Donald Sterling story while you're listening to this? This is very lovely.
Listen. God. Wow. Oh, you know, that is very...
That's eerie.
That is almost like Jimmy, the intro to Stairway to Heaven. And we're listening to Taurus. Let me go back again. Let's go back again here. Let me just find it. This is Spirit's attorneys are suing Led Zeppelin for using this. Wow.
Well, I don't know. Does it sound like it?
Yeah, it sounds exactly like it.
Now, you should put that on pause.
I'm going to put that on pause, and then we'll play Stairway to Heaven by Led Zeppelin, which is a song everybody knows. I mean, I can't imagine people not knowing it. But you just heard Taurus from Spirit's first album. And now what we're going to hear is Stairway to Heaven by Led Zeppelin. You're going to hear the lick. I mean, you're going to hear the riff. It's as just as plain as day. Let's see, where are we, man? S-T-A. This everything. You know, Bud, we need to get this stuff on cart before the show.
Yeah, just here on cart.
On Digicart, man. Oh, shit. Okay, here we go. This is then... Why am I not finding this, man? Here it is. This is in Led Zeppelin.
Wow. Well, that is very, very similar.
Yes, just a little tiny bit of a change.
They're not using flute music.
Who isn't using? It doesn't matter if they're using flute music. It's the melody that they're talking about. And if I was a judge, I'd have to say there's absolute cause, at least for this whole thing to go to trial. You know, I mean, if they're... I would hear the case. Now here's Taurus by... Now listen, here is Taurus by Spirit. I'd have to cue it to the right place.
You need to record this and get this on the...
Yes, Mr. Ernie said.
Don't worry about it, man. Just... Yeah, I mean, I'd hear this case. If I'm the judge, I hear this case. This goes to trial, man.
Well, now, hold on for a minute. I want to ask you something.
Hold on. That's the riff. I mean, they got absolutely. I mean, I don't know if anybody's listening to Phil Hendry here, but I'm telling you that lick was lifted clean. Now look, I'm not saying that Jimmy Page did it on purpose.
Well, hold on. I've got a bigger point to make.
Okay.
You young guys, you're laying around, you're smoking, you're listening to that. Now comes the day that the Led Zeppelin comes out, and they come out with Stairway to Heaven, right? Excuse me for a minute. Give me some water, will you? And they come out with Stairway to Heaven, right?
Yeah.
Why didn't you guys are sitting around smoking your, getting stoned and smoking everything you can get your hands on, why didn't you say, hey, Led Zeppelin, I'll tell you why, because you're laying around in a cloud of smoke, you can't see your own, you can't even see your own penis to take a pee, can you?
Yeah, okay, General.
Well, don't look at me like I'm crackers. I don't know what I'm saying, but you understand.
You're saying to me, why didn't we, the music fans of the world, recognize that Jimmy Page was ripping off Spirit? For a very simple reason. There was a span of time of about 5 years. That's one. Number two, Spirit's album, if anybody should have known, I should have known, because I listened to that album back and forth for years. I love that album by Spirit. Why I didn't listen to that Led Zeppelin lick, for me... I wasn't that much of a Led Zeppelin fan by the time that album came out, because I told you I liked the fact that Led Zeppelin was a blues band, but when they started doing all this fairy music, and I don't mean fairy as in, I mean fairy as in fairyland.
Like Lord of the Rings.
Yeah. And they started just, I don't know. It wasn't for me, man, so.
You're really a Led Zeppelin fan then?
Maybe not. I mean, I liked a lot of their later music. Stairway to Heaven came out and was such a huge record, and it was such a big hit, and everybody was talking about it ad nauseum, that I, you know me, I got to the point where, yeah, it's, can we get on to the next topic at hand here? Because I'm sick of hearing about this song, and especially about how tight Robert Plant's plants are. And also...
You mean Robert Plant, did he have plants?
He probably had a few plants. He probably was growing a few plants.
Who?
Robert Plant.
Who's Robert Plant? You said this guy was Robert Plant.
I'm talking about Robert Plant. Yes, it's Robert Plant.
Well, who's growing the plants?
There it is, folks. You're listening to the riff that the attorneys for Randy California, the guitarist for Spirit, they claim that riff was ripped off by Jimmy Page and Led Zeppelin for the intro on Stairway to Heaven. And Randy California has been quoted in interviews as saying, I kept waiting for them to say thank you. I kept waiting for them to do something, because to me it's clearly a ripoff, but they never did anything. Listen.
All right, now, here's the larger issue. Is my husband on the phone?
Yeah, Frank, I'm good.
Frank Gray's an attorney, and he's an entertainment attorney, so maybe we can get a little bit of this from Frank. Hey, Frank, good morning. It's Phil Hendry here. How are you?
Better than Custer, young man. How are you doing?
Great. Frank, did you hear the music, or are you familiar with this?
They talk about Led Zeppelin, yeah.
Okay. What is the story?
Well, Led Zeppelin, when Jimmy Page wrote Stairway to Heaven, it can be argued that she was thinking of the song Taurus by Randy California. It can be argued that she might have been thinking about the price of beans in Tokyo. In other words, what you have to establish is that Jimmy Page and Robert Plants had foreknowledge of the foreknowledge. I'm still waking up here.
Frank, why don't you get some coffee?
I've got coffee, okay? And by the way, if I ever see Nescafe in this house again, I'm going to kill our son, the Delmonico.
Frank, I told you that I made the mistake. I told Amparo to get the real stuff.
I know. If I ever see Nescafe, I will kill the son, the only son I have. I will strangle her. The Delmonico will be strangled and left in a shallow grave. Do you understand?
I don't think there's any need for that, Frank. There will not be any Nescafe.
All right, I guess you don't like Nescafe.
No, I don't. Do you like instant coffee? Do you know anybody that likes instant coffee? Raise your hand if you like instant coffee.
Anybody?
I don't know. I've never had it.
Let me tell you something, Dickman. If you ever do drink instant coffee, you're no friend of mine. Now...
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I told you, Frank, that it was a little bit of a mistake, all right?
A little bit of a mistake. That's the second week in a row that I come downstairs and I want a cup of coffee. I go in and I find Nescafe, and Amparo comes in and he says to me, "Oh, senor, I was just doing my hair." And I said to him, "Go get me coffee. I don't care if you have to kill, maim, mutilate, get me coffee." So he got in the car, got on his dress, got into the car.
So you had Amparo drive your Mercedes?
Yes, I had him drive it. What kind of a snob do you think I am?
Well, I didn't know.
So he got in the car, he got on his dress, got his purse, he went down to Starbucks, got me a triple venti. I forget.
Okay, can we, the coffee's in you now, can we keep talking?
I apologize.
Now hold on, we got to take a break. Frank Gray is with us. I got a break.
Well, what are you talking about, Phil?
I got a break now, okay? We're going to be right back as we continue talking about Led Zeppelin and what appears to us here on the Phil Henry Show is a very clear case of having plagiarized music from Spirit. Taurus is the song that Spirit wrote, Randy California wrote originally in 1968, that appeared on their first album. And Stairway to Heaven appears to be lifting clean that opening lick. If you'll pardon the expression, lick. Well, here is Lupe Fiasco. Is a new one called Mission. World famous Phil Henry. She'll be right back here. We are live and mobile on Listen Live, live and mobile on TuneIn.
And I beat kidney
cancer. I'm going
to
win the battle. That's right. I'm cancer.
My name is Bernadette, and I beat stage 1 triple negative breast cancer.
My name is Andrew, and I'm living with stage 4 lung cancer.
I was diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma.
I never took my heart for
in September 2013.
I was 27-year-old. I was diagnosed with a malignant brain tumor 3 years ago.
Hi, this is Kathy Phillips.
I just want you to know that I'm pretty pissed off.
I'm going chemotherapy and all that radiation. This has been the battle for my life.
Hey, my name is Charles Porter. I had stage 4 Hodgkin's lymphoma. I went through a year of strenuous chemo. Then I had a bone marrow transplant where they gave me salvage chemo and 5 days, twice a day, full body radiation to basically bring my immune system down to nothing. And so literally died to stay alive. Come April, I'll be in at my 3rd year in remission, and it was a team effort. All the friends and family I had came together and had to keep that mental strong, but we got through it. Some fallen soldiers went as I fought, but they'll always be heroes. Peace!
Is that one of those rap hip hop songs? Hold on.
For every time they counted me out, and my back was up against the wall, I could have died, but I came out fighting. Could have died, but I came out fighting. Could have died, but I came out fighting. Could have died, but I came out fighting.
Yeah. Fighting. With a breast full of lungs.
man, she ain't no punch, and she gonna ride on it like a chopper in a trunk. Pink ribbon woman, she gon' live forever. Even though the doctor said she only get a month, said it's my life, and you only get it once. These flowers smell too damn good to be living in the funk. So I finna get it in, and I finna get it crunk, and I finna get the living eyes on remission from the jump. Breast cancer can't hold me back. That's the answer when they told me that. It can knock me down, but I'm gon' be back strong. Down for whatever exceptional, and I don't know how to quit, and I never said never, you can have that hair, cause real talk, bitch, I think I look better, let's done. Fighter, with everything inside her, born life from death row, drop the charges, see a lifer, cell phones and your lighters, need you to put them up higher, so many candles on her birthday cake, might set the thing on fire, yeah.
For every time they counted me out, and my back.
That is a wonderful new song by Lupe Fiasco called Mission.
Yeah, and it's obviously an anti-cancer statement, a pro-people statement. Lupe Fiasco, who gave us Bitches Bad and other such memorable tracks. That is Mission. I like that. And how can you not like that?
Talking about the pink ribbon, which of course is breast cancer.
This what champions were made for. Only so much fundraisers pay for. So I guess the rest is just all on me. That will to live against what's.
All right, but we're talking about something far more important. We're talking about whether Led Zeppelin ripped off Spirit.
You're kidding.
Yes, I'm kidding. But we're going to moving on with the show. That's an awesome track. We got to listen to all of that at some point in the proceedings.
Well, why don't you listen to the whole thing now? You're just playing it.
Because I got the rest of the show that I got to do, okay?
That sounds kind of insensitive to the people what is having the cancer.
Well, but I don't mean to be insensitive, all right?
Just screwing around, man. Yeah, I'm just screwing around.
What is it with you guys? All of a sudden, you guys are joking with me. All right, so back to square one. Frank Gray on the line with us here from his home in Santa Monica, and we're talking about the song Taurus by Spirit and the song Stairway to Heaven by Led Zeppelin. Lawsuit has been filed by the estate of Randy California, as well as the other band members in Spirit, accusing Led Zeppelin of having plagiarized the track from a Taurus, plagiarizing the riff, I should say, from the song Taurus for Stairway to Heaven. So, Frank, we listened to it, and we'll listen to it again, but give me your... You were beginning to talk about how there's a difference between whether the guy actually heard it.
Well, there's a difference between, Phil, whether or not Jimmy Page heard actively what Randy California wrote, and she decided she was going to incorporate that into a Stairway up to Heaven, or if she heard Randy California's song Taurus and she subconsciously incorporated it into her daily thinking. If she was out with her girlfriend and she took her girlfriend, let's say, to the movies, and while the girlfriend went out to get popcorn and she's waiting for him, she's sitting there thinking about, I should write a new song for the new Led Zeppelin record label or album. I know I'll write a song called Stairway to Heaven because I love him so much, meaning her girlfriend. And so...
Yeah, so then he goes home.
So then she goes home, and of course the girlfriend says, do you want some dinner? And she says to him, you go ahead, baby, and cook it. I got a little cooking to do of my own.
Yes, Frank, get to the point, please.
Hey, Margaret, you're the one that had Nescafe in the kitchen, and I almost slaughtered a boy. I almost, in the Bible, when they took the boy...
Frank!
No, hold on. I almost slaughtered the Delmonico because I found Nescafe. I almost took the Delmonico, my beloved son, laid her on a slab in the backyard, and almost plunged a dagger into her heart because you had Nescafe in my kitchen. So if you don't mind... Close that beer trap. I got something to say.
Go ahead.
All right. Where was I, Phil?
You're talking about how Jimmy Page is home writing Stairway to Heaven.
Right, so she's writing Stairway to Heaven. Now, did she think, I heard a really good lick once, Taurus, I think I will take that and incorporate it into the song? Or did she simply start strumming her guitar and that melody came to her mind?
All right, now here's my question. What if it is just a spontaneous... Is there such a thing, Frank, of a guy thinking of a melody that's exactly the same melody another guy thought of and recorded, but he wasn't influenced by the other melody, never thought of the other melody?
Well,
That's what most of them claim. That's what most of them will claim. They'll all say that. They all say, oh, well, this came to me independently of having... See, Jimmy Page will get on the stand. If I'm an attorney in this and I represent the spirits...
Well, the band's called Spirit.
All right, if I represent... Well, who's the spirits?
Spirit is the name of the band.
The band is called Spirit, Frank.
Well, there's a guy named Randy California, right?
Randy California was the guy that wrote the song for Spirit.
Oh, all right. And what did she do?
He played the guitar.
Okay. If I'm the attorney representing Randy California, and I go up to this guy Page, and I say to her, you listened to the song Taurus, and that's exactly why you wrote that song, Stairway to Heaven. And she's going to say, no, I didn't. You never heard the song Taurus. No, I never. And you never heard of the band Spirit. Well, of course I've heard of the band Spirit. You know their music, don't you? Well, yeah, and where do you know their music from? And then the judge is going to say, well, why don't you allow the witness to answer the question, Mr. Gray? And I'll say to her, why don't you take it and stick it right straight up your... And I would never say, but I swear to Almighty, I want to say to these judges, take it and shove it so far up your ass, you're coughing up law books and briefs, you know, but I never do say that.
All right, but your point is that you would have Page on the stand, and by simply working on the witness, you'd get him to admit, well, yes, I've heard the music.
Yeah, you'd get him to, of course you've heard the music of Spirit, of course. Where did you hear it? What did you hear? Well, I listened to their, did you hear the first album? Yes, I heard their first album. Of course you did, because it's a big hit record. And you listened to that album, and you heard that music, didn't you, Mr. Page? And you took that lyrical line, and you incorporated it into that music.
Well, what if it was unconscious?
Yeah, well, that's the question here, Frank. What if the young man put it into the song without any malice?
Doesn't make any difference. Doesn't make any difference at all. Look at George Harrison of the Beatles. You know what she tried to pull? She tried to take He's So Fine by the Chiffons, is it, Margaret?
The Chiffons. I've told him this a million times. The Chiffons.
Well, excuse me, okay? Maybe my mind has been poisoned by the Nescafe that you've been feeding me.
Oh, get over the Nescafe, Frank. It's the Chiffons.
All right. George Harrison tried to pull this when she said, I wrote My Sweet Christ based upon...
No, it's My Sweet Lord.
What's it called?
My Sweet Lord.
Oh, well, what difference is it, man? I mean, that guy wrote the song, right?
Yeah.
All right. And the judge said, well, but it sounds exactly like She's So Fine by the Chiffons. The Chiffons?
Yes, the Chiffons. God.
Oh, well, excuse me.
All right, guys, just cease fire for a second. So what did the judge say? That George Harrison had plagiarized that?
Yeah, the judge said George Harrison had plagiarized She's So Fine for My Sweet Christ, because it didn't make any difference that Harrison claimed, oh, I didn't know, I just, it was a melody that came. The judge said, bullshit, excuse my French, but the judge said, bullshit, Mr. Harrison, you are ordered to pay and pay right through the nose, and for George Harrison, big deal, the writers of She's Fine for that thing you wrote called My Sweet Jesus or whatever the...
Well, and so the writers of She's So Fine won.
Yes, the writers of She's So Fine won.
No, I mean He's So Fine.
Oh, She's So Fine, yeah. And so what I'm saying is the song was called He's So Fine about, it was a weird song, but She's So Fine because it's about a guy.
Right, yeah, it's about a guy.
Right, so for some reason they said they called it He's So Fine. I don't know, it might have been but I call it She's So Fine because it's about a guy. But anyway... So
George Harrison lost that case, even though he claimed to the court that he was not consciously at any time thinking of that riff.
Exactly. And the court isn't going to buy it. The court isn't going to buy it, especially if you get the guy to admit that she heard the song previous. No one could ever say to George, do you think George Harrison's going to say, I never heard She's So Fine? The judge would look at him and laugh so hard that she'd urinate. She would streak. She'd streak a pair of perfectly good underwear. I would, too. Anybody would. George Harrison was a member of the rock and roll world and heard every hit record as a little tiny English boy growing up in the England, and she's so fine. And no one would ever say about Harrison that she's so fine because she's a lying two-bit.
Even though he's dead?
I didn't know that she is. She dead?
Yes, George Harrison passed on.
Well, I think she was one of the finest people that I ever met, but.
Oh, for God's sake.
Just hold on.
All right, so just putting all of this together, and then we have to take a break. You're confident that the court would find in favor of Spirit?
I think the court should find in favor of Spirit, whether they will. Because there's a lot of money. But look, all the Spirits are asking, I mean, all that Spirit is asking, or all that Randy California's estate is asking, is to add her as a writer to the song. And I don't think that's much to have. And I have to be honest with you, I would think the Led Zeppelin, and Jimmy Page especially, she would have to, in all gracious honesty, say, you know what, it's close enough for jazz. Sure, we'll put her on a record.
And see, the one of the things about that, though, is that...
Let me ask this. Jimmy Page stands to lose a lot of face, doesn't he?
Well, I mean, Jimmy Page is on a year... You know, what kind of a legacy do you want to leave? Do you want to stand your ground on some chicken, punk? It's a real chicken deal, you know. If I were her, I'd say, you know, I'm going to cut my losses. You're right, we did, I did. Here's a little bit of money for a family that could use it.
Yeah, because the family's pleading poverty, not poverty, the family's pleading that they don't have enough money. It may be to influence the court's opinion, I don't know. But they say that they waited this long because they didn't have money for an attorney.
Well, see, that's a little bit suspicious because if you're Randy California and the Spirit, you ought to be able to find a lawyer that's going to sign on for the ride for a piece, huh? And I know I would. I'd sign on for the ride for a piece.
A piece of the royalties?
Yeah, a piece of the, piece of the royalty. If I wasn't married, I mean, just a piece of safe, they got something.
Well, Frank's talking about, you. In other words, sexual favors.
You know, Margaret, you got a way of putting things that makes me want to, it makes me want to crawl home. All 2 inches long of me, because that's when you're done with me, I would crawl home as a little 2-inch long insect. And when I got home, only then could I inflate myself back up. Excuse me.
What did you do last night?
Wouldn't you like to know? So that's my feeling, Phil.
All right, Frank Gray. Thank you, Frank.
Uh-huh.
That's very interesting.
I think that as insane as Frank is, I think he's got a point there.
I do, too. I mean, we listened to it. We'll play it again for you. But it's very obvious that the song is an exact Stairway to Heaven uses this lick. And now the only question is, was it a conscious? But Frank says it doesn't matter, right?
Yeah, that's exactly. He said it doesn't matter whether it's conscious or unconscious. The fact is the melody is close enough. And there's a very high likelihood. See, on account of these guys, they're all, you know, the way I got it figured, they're all smoking the same, out of the same hookah, if you will, you know.
Well, to put it in a gentler way, they're all part of the same sort of creative pool in those days. So they're listening to each other's music. There's no question that they're listening to each other's music. And here again is the song Taurus. You guys know Stairway to Heaven. This is a song that the family of Randy California and the band Spirit says Jimmy Page ripped off for the opening acoustic licks on Stairway to Heaven. And when you hear this guitar, you will probably agree. Because we agree. It sounds like a lift. Not saying it was malicious. Not saying anything.
My God, that just, it gives me goosebumps, and I almost feel aroused, you know, well, never mind.
God!
Looking at you, bud.
Yeah, that's... And I heard that song a million times when I was in high school listening to this album.
Well, that's the whole thing I'm saying. How come you potheads, and why didn't you guys see what was happening? And tell Mr. California...
Are you kidding me? Why didn't I call it? Hey, Mr. California, hi, I'm Philip Hendry, and I live in Arcadia. And anyway, your song, Taurus, just got ripped off by the...
Wait a minute, you wasn't 16.
No, I was 20. I was 21.
Well, you didn't sound like some little snot-nosed hop. Did you sound like a snot-nosed hophead?
I probably sounded like a 21-year-old hophead. All right, we'll be right back here. Phil Hendry Show. God almighty, what a morning this has been.
Well, I think it's been a revelation. I'm very happy that we talked to Frank.
I'm also very happy we listened to that Lupe Fiasco Mission song. We have to listen to more of that. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. We're on live and line at TuneIn. We're on Listen Live and mobile at TuneIn. Excuse me. We're on... Never mind. Also... When I come back, I'll tell you about how to get tickets for our one-man show on June the 5th at the Hollywood Improv.
Y'all.
Now, I want to know more about these hopped-up punks.
I'm Margaret Gray, reminding you to give to your breast cancer fund. Yes, even a slut like this deserves consideration. All women are sisters, and we should all hang together in these very tough times. We are fighting, we are battling this terrible, terrible disease of breast cancer. Even if I've got to stand shoulder to shoulder with this strumpet, shit. You know, I...
Well, why don't you give it a break? I think he sounds wonderful.
Oh, God.
Bob Green coming up here in a second to talk about more Donald Sterling news. Bob Green from Fraser Foods is going to be up front and center here. All right, coming up on June the 5th is our one-man show, The World of Phil Hendry, at the Hollywood Improv in Hollywood, California, and we would be so absolutely honored to have you guys join us for that. All you have to do to get tickets is to go to our website. If you're on a desktop, there's a banner at the very top that says One Man Show. Click that. Boom, Jack, that is right straight directly to the Hollywood Improv site. You can also get tickets for a show by way of directly going to the Hollywood Improv site and just scroll down to June 5 and you'll see it right there, The World of Phil Hendry. We are there and, you know, and we'll be rock and roll there on June the 5th. So if you can make it, if you're in the LA area at the time. And of course, our fondest hope, our fondest dream, our fondest realization is to take this show and just shove it right into a garbage can. No, I'm kidding. It's to take it.
It's to go out on the road.
It's to go out on the road, yeah.
What do you mean shove it into a garbage can?
I'm kidding. I was telling everybody in the pre-show that we're going to be rehearsing it and writing it, rehearsing it, all this stuff. So anyway, on the 5th of June, join us there at the Hollywood Improv in Hollywood. Let's get on the line here. Robert Green from Fraser Foods. Bob Green is joining us here as we continue to talk about the Donald Sterling situation. Bob, good morning.
Good morning, Phil.
Donald Sterling, my understanding is, has been fined, or not fined, excuse me. Donald Sterling has been, quote, charged by the NBA. Los Angeles Clipper owner Donald Sterling has until May the 27th to respond to the National Basketball Association. On Monday, initiated a charge seeking to terminate all ownership rights in the franchise. So you have taken Donald Sterling's side in this story. What is your opinion of this?
Phil, this is not, these are a bunch of guys. The NBA is seeking to take from Donald Sterling that which is rightfully his. He has built that team up with the sweat and the guts and the money that it took for him to build it up and to make it what it is. I don't think Donald Sterling's the kind of guy that wants to draw undue attention to himself, even though this very unfortunate series of events has happened. But this is the guy that bled every day, building up the money that it took to buy the NBA, clawed his way through the dirt and the filth, and I think a lot of people need to give this guy credit. And now the NBA comes along a guy named Adam Silver. I don't think this guy has ever owned anything more than a pen and pencil. What he ought to own is a toupee, and I mean that sincerely, because I can get him a deal at the hair system place that I go to, because I think to see that bald head, he looks like Nosferatu, and he sounds like a real jackass on skates. So I don't think they got a leg to stand on.
Well, that was a really, that all of that was a bunch of personal insult, and you didn't make a point.
Yeah, now, what is your point, Green?
All right, what my point? My point is this. If Donald Sterling is going to be driven out of the NBA, it's going to take more than some guy that looks like Nosferatu and a bunch of really angry housewives reading the, what do you want to call the tabloids.
Do you really think that that is the limits to the outrage being felt by people on Donald Sterling? I mean, you've had people all walks of life, all members of the NBA fan base, all of the players just about.
You know, I heard somebody, I haven't heard from any white players, have you?
I don't know, and I don't really care, to be honest with you, because if you're talking about a majority of NBA players, you're talking about a majority of NBA players. If they're black, they're black. It's very interesting. People love this idea of majority rules. When you turn around and say, well, the majority happen to be black players, I guess that means their vote counts. And they're saying that they don't want to play in a league where this guy is the owner or is an owner.
Well, they're saying they don't want to play in a league. Let me tell you something, Phil. A lot of people think that I'm a racist. I'm not a racist. And I'm not...
Well, that's what Donald Sterling says.
Wow, boy, that,
Well, I'm not saying that you're Donald Sterling, but that's, you know, it's saying it doesn't make it so.
All right, let me say this. Donald Sterling, these guys are going to walk out on a league that pays a lot. That's a lot of gold chains, you know.
Well, that'd be a lot of gold chains. See, that's racist.
No. I'm using that as a euphemism for money. I'm saying that's a lot of gold chains and a lot of gold teeth. That's all.
All right, see, so I agree with Robert. Now you're using these kind of racially charged terms to make your point.
Why was that racially charged?
Because, Bob, you're saying a lot of, boy, the money they get paid, that's a lot of gold chains and a lot of gold teeth. You know for a fact that that means black players.
Well, Phil said the majority of the players are black, so I'm just talking about the majority of the guys that I see with the gold chains and the gold teeth.
Look, first of all, I don't know how many guys have gold teeth, and I don't even want to discuss this from that standpoint. I'm saying that you taking the side of Donald Sterling and saying that he pays a lot of money, I take it you're saying they're not going to go out on strike because they're going to lose that money.
They're going to lose that money, and they're going to lose a whole lot of it. Okay, if you don't want me to say that, they're going to lose, you know, a lot of the cachet that obviously they have in allowing them to... What am I allowed to say here on your program, Mr. Henry? I mean...
If you feel like you need to edit yourself or censor yourself, then maybe you should.
I don't know. That buys a lot of white girlfriends. Is that bad? I mean...
Yes, that's the absolute racism that I was talking about. You and Donald Sterling both talk in this kind of... in this sort of language, which includes these racially charged terms and a lot of stereotypes.
Well, what was the stereotype of what I just said?
All the money that Donald Sterling pays them, that buys a lot of white girlfriends.
And you don't see how that's racist?
No, I'm talking about what I'm seeing. If I see with my eyes, I go to the arena and I look and I see, oh, there goes so-and-so Muhammad, let's say. And there's his white girlfriend. I didn't say anything bad.
Look, Bob.
How did I say something bad?
Look at Green. You know, even I've got a short fuse for this kind of stuff. What's this whole, there goes something Muhammad. What's that about?
I'm just talking about the black players. Mr. Henry said the majority of them are black players.
Are you sure that they all have the name Muhammad?
No, they don't have the, all right, okay. There goes Rynell. I mean, what am I allowed to say?
You can say anything you want, Bob. I'm not going to tell you not to say stuff, okay? Say whatever you want. And I think the audience can make up their mind.
Oh, I get it. So, in other words, give me enough rope, and I'm gonna be. What was it you guys were doing the other day? Give me enough rope, and I'm gonna be going. Is that what you guys are saying?
That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying you go ahead and you talk, and the audience will make up its mind on what you think. You're saying that Donald Sterling.
I'm saying Donald Sterling pays a hell of a lot of money to the players in that league, and the money that he pays them buys a lot of good life. Okay?
That's what you could have said in the first place.
Oh, for God, Jesus. We got sidetracked because I happen to say a guy buys... all right, so anyway, Donald, do you think those guys are going to walk out on the NBA when the NBA pays them that kind of money, the NBA is paying them the kind of money that allows them, okay, if this is racist, then I guess I better hang up, but it pays them enough money to custom make a house so they're big, so a big guy, you know what I'm saying?
It pays them a lot of money to what?
He's saying the NBA pays them enough money so that they can custom build a home that accommodates 7 foot tall people.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Is there something wrong with that? Well, you got to add on another foot for, I mean, if they have an, well, in the old, if they had an afro, it would be 8 feet, wouldn't it? Come on, Phil.
No, no, you're Bob. Okay, so the NBA pays them a lot of money.
Yeah, the NBA pays them a lot of money. And look, how many janitor jobs are there? I don't know. If the NBA didn't exist, I suppose we'd have to open up the whole janitorial field. What?
All right, Bob, thanks very much. I think we know where you're coming from.
No, 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 you don't know where I'm coming from. You haven't let me say one thing.
Okay, if the NBA didn't exist, then there'd be a lot more janitor jobs that we'd need to open up.
Well, there may be. No, there's probably a lot of openings. Freaky, you know what, Henry? You and your whole crew there have come on this program tonight, as you have so many times, or this afternoon, or this morning. Or I don't know what time is it where you are?
Same time as it where you are, morning.
Okay, you've come on this program tonight. I mean, this morning. And
no, it's night.
Goodbye.
Well, why'd you do that?
What's the point? What's the point? The guy's a freak case.
Well, that guy Green.
Donald Sterling is being charged by the NBA. It's the beginning of the process to get his ass out of the league. Sterling owns a deal with his wife, Shelley, through a family trust, will also be allowed to make a presentation, a special Board of Governors meeting on the 3rd of June. However, attorney Maxwell Blecker has demanded on behalf of Sterling that the NBA give the longtime owner a 3-month extension to prepare his response. Sports Illustrated reported Monday night. The magazine, which, like CNN, is owned by Time Warner, said the NBA would reject the request. A receptionist at Blecker's office told CNN she had been advised to give a no comment to all media inquiries involving Donald Sterling.
But the duck they have no comment on, huh?
Well, the NBA also declined to comment. The order to terminate the Sterling's franchise rights, 75% of the 30 team owners would have to vote to sustain the charge and force a sale. Because Sterling is banned from any NBA activities, he's not allowed to vote, but the Clippers will have a vote. NBA bylaws say that if Sterling doesn't respond in 5 business days or appear at a hearing, it will be deemed an admission to the total validity of the charge.
Well, I don't explain to people how this works in terms of the overall. You know.
If it's constitutional.
Well, yeah. See, the NBA has a constant. The NBA has a look. The NBA has rules. There's rules and regulations given in the NBA to be an owner. It's like having as I heard described on TV the other day. It's like having a McDonald's franchise. You can have your franchise revoked if you do not adhere to certain rules and regulations. If I own a McDonald's franchise and the food is unhealthy and the place is a filthy mess and the sign, the golden arches are falling down and all kinds of, McDonald's can walk in and by rights say, you no longer have a franchise. I have agreed to that at the beginning. I have agreed that owning this franchise is different from other situations, not like owning a house where all I have to do is sign the bank note and make the payments, and the bank doesn't give a damn, really, frankly, what I do to the house, they're going to get paid. It's not like that. This is different. This is an ownership position that is accompanied with a almost like a partner in a larger enterprise, you know? So you have to represent, as they say. And the NBA...
Well, so the Clippers.
Yeah, if the Clippers have dirty underwear.
Not dirty underwear, you gloid. He's talking about whether the Clippers adhere to the image of the NBA.
That's exactly right. The NBA is a product. They sell their product. They sell their product to the American people and all over the world. Just as that, I forget who it was that was talking early on. It might have been A.C. Green who said, you know, it is a global product, and we have to be able to sell this product. If people see that somehow we tolerate some bigot who doesn't want blacks in his game, who doesn't want blacks in his house, or whatever, you know, this is going to redound negatively. So that's the thing, man.
Well, how constitutional? So what if they say, okay, those are all the rules, but it's unconstitutional?
I don't know. Maybe they will. And maybe it's unconstitutional for a guy to have his franchise, his McDonald's franchise, revoked simply because it's not the most comfortable restaurant to eat in, and it doesn't quite have the high standards that all the other McDonald's restaurants have. I mean, one of the things about McDonald's, whether it's owned by this guy or that guy, every time you go into one, it's the same damn place, right?
Well, yes, I expect that.
Exactly. That's exactly what you expect. Even though your money, in that instance, is going to a different guy. There's all kinds of different guys. But one thing those different guys have in common is they have an experience, and a McDonald's dining experience, that's the same. Oh, my God. All right, folks, that's the end of that for the show here tonight, or this afternoon, or this morning, or, you know, whatever time you may be listening to the podcast of this year's show. We're going to be back tomorrow. We'll have more information on the one-man show. Be sure to be checking us out on Facebook for the podcast today and share it so you can get yourself a free month of Backstage Pass. We'll be with you tomorrow morning at 8:30 a.m. Pacific time. So we have another customer appreciation giveaway for our Backstage Passers at that particular time. This is Chelsea Grin, and angels shall sin, demons shall pray. And, you know, it's like that.
This is really this is wonderful.
I love it. I don't wanna see you. You say you're close to God. I'd really like to meet him. I don't wanna be you. I don't wanna see you. I'm tired.
Yeah!